Good morning and welcome to the ASI Tuesday Morning Show, where some of ASI's most opinionated editors talk promo products and more. Our phone lines are open, so call in at 215-953-4979. I'm Joe Haley, and I'll be your special guest host today.
You are special, Joe.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. That's right. I'll be steering the good ship Lollipop while Melinda Lygos finishes her assignment in sunny Florida. Joining me today is our resident sweetheart, Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine. Kathy, how was your trip home yesterday?
It was great. I was sitting by you.
Absolutely. The best seat in the house. Also in the studio is Dave Vagnoni, our smooth-as-milk chocolate staff writer for Counselor. He's back from his very first ASI show. Dave, good to see you. Have you recovered yet?
I'm still recovering from running up and down the escalator
from this
radio show yesterday, but it was worth it.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Joan Chaikin, ASI's other red-hot managing editor, is making her first in-studio visit today. Joanie, how's
it going?
It's
actually my second.
Oh, it's your second. Okay, I can't count.
Jeez.
And on the phone from our satellite office in New York is counselor editor and a veritable lifesaver, Andy Cohen. Andy, what's going on in New York today?
Oh, we're doing great here. How are you guys there?
We are all terrific. Also today, we'll hear from President and CEO of ASI and the President of the ASI show, Tim Andrews. And Michelle Bell will be calling in from across the pond where she's attending the PSI show in Dusseldorf, Germany. Listeners, you can call us now at 215-953-4979 for whatever's on your mind. And we're going to take your trade show challenge questions and we'll give you our best advice based on our varied experience. But right now, Kathy, please give us a rundown on today's show.
Thanks, Joe. On today's show, you'll hear a recap of the Orlando ASI show, and Andy will tell you who won the Supplier of the Year award. Michelle Bell will give us some insight on fabulous Dusseldorf, if she is indeed awake. I think it's afternoon there now. I will provide some new twists on old products, and we'll take callers with questions on trade show challenges. Dave Vagnoni will tell you who he thinks are the worst sitcom employees ever. And if we have time, you'll hear yet another crotchety rant from our resident curmudgeon, Joseph Francis Haley. Now here's Andy Cohen with today's news. Andy?
Thanks, Kathy. Well, the new pharmaceutical industry gift ban rules officially went into effect January 1st. While the new voluntary code was enacted last summer, pharmaceutical companies had until the beginning of 2009 to change their marketing practices. So far, about 40 of the largest pharmaceutical companies have signed on to the new marketing guidelines and have agreed to not give doctors promotional items such as pens, mugs, and notepads with their logos on them. Educational items like models, charts, and patient kits, though, are acceptable and are beginning to grab the marketing budgets of sales reps and their companies. Check out Promogram later today for a full report on the new guidelines. North Carolina-based Magnetic Attractions announced yesterday that it has acquired Rainbow Magnetics. While financial terms of the deal weren't released, the company said that all employees from Rainbow Magnetics are expected to be retained, and through the acquisition, Magnetic Attractions says it will double its number of employees. Suppliers and distributors in Arizona are now dealing with a new provision that could impact the sale of promotional license plate frames. Arizona residents will now be fined up to $200 if the state's name is covered up. The new rule went into effect on January 1st and is causing license plate frame suppliers to adjust their offerings in Arizona so the frames are smaller and don't block the state's name. You can check out Promogram later on today for a full report on the new law as well as a complete video recap of the ASI show Orlando.
Thanks, Andy. Speaking of ASI Orlando, on line one we have the president of the ASI show, Tim Andrews. Tim, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. It's good to hear from you. Can you give us a little recap of what happened the past couple of days in Orlando?
Yeah, we had a great show. ASI Orlando, of course, is the first show of 2009. It's also the largest show on the East Coast. We ended with about 5,200-plus people at the show, distributors at the show, which is equivalent to last year, from over 2,000 distributor firms from the East Coast as well as, of course, the West Coast. Really important, I think, is that the first full day of the show, of course, is Education Day. We attracted over 2,000 distributors, up 16% from a year ago. We've revamped the education and really tried to focus it on helping especially new distributors, but really everybody to be able to make more money in what is, of course, a challenging 2009 shaping up. And we felt really great about that. We got great feedback from attendees. Both of education and also the overall show.
Great. Now, when we walked into the show floor, we noticed a completely new and revamped look. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we really have rebranded each of the five shows. Next month, of course, we have Dallas, and then in March, we've got New York. And we've rebranded all the shows and really tried to streamline it, make it a little bit more approachable for people so they can find things. Of course, there were a couple of kinks, which there always are when you're trying to do something new. So I thank everybody who was at the show for their patience a couple of times. But overall, we got great feedback from that as well. And, of course, we also had as our keynote Tony Robbins, and that was really a great thing, too.
Yeah, I spoke with a few distributors who went to that session, and they just raved about it and said that he was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, one of the distributors grabbed me near the show close and said that it was the best gift we could have ever given to the industry with Tony Robbins, because for those people who were there, you know, we were with Tony for about 2 hours. He's really one of the most inspirational business coaches around, and we spent 2 hours with him. He had us on our feet a lot and really learned a lot of things that can help us think about 2009 in a way that allows us to grow businesses and grab market share. You know, there's still business going on out there. And it's really important for people to stay positive and stay focused on what the goals are and not think about what you didn't get done, but think about what you want to get done.
We were a full level down from him, and we could hear the excitement in the crowd. He had them up, clapping their hands, stomping their feet, doing everything.
People were jumping around. It was great.
Now, one of the trademark events at any ASI show is the gala. This year we moved to a new location at Universal Studios. What type of feedback did you get from that?
People really loved it. We had there were some new rides at this area, different kinds of food. Really great networking, Universal. You know, whether you went on any of the rides or not, I went on Men in Black for the first time, and was a great high score. If anybody, in fact, beat me on, I did 193,500 was my score at in Men in Black. So if anybody beat me, I want them to email me, tandrews@asicentral.com, and you'll get a prize. But it was a great time.
Well, I had about 115,000. I beat Joan Chaykin at the very end.
But you didn't meet me, Joe. You didn't meet me, Joe.
I did not beat you. That's true. But I found out that if you pressed that little red button that was flashing, you got some bonus points.
Tim, why were you so good at that ride?
You know what? I grew up in the Midwest, and I used to go with my dad hunting, so I think I was pretty good at looking for the goblins.
He's a sharpshooter.
You shoot aliens.
A lot of aliens
all the time.
Out there, too.
Well, Tim, it was a great Orlando show. We've got Dallas coming up next month. Any highlights there you'd like to talk about?
Well, there's a lot going on. You know, we've really revamped. We've got a really great audience. Our attendance is tracking to meet or maybe slightly beat last year's, which is great. You know, I think there are a lot of suppliers out there that are concerned about audiences at trade shows. They want to make sure they got the right people. We've changed our marketing to really focus on making sure we've got the biggest and best distributors always coming to our shows, and that's really important. In fact, in Orlando, we had a new $1 million-plus summit for distributor salespeople, and only people that could show us that they had done $1 million in revenue were eligible. We had $5 million producers in the room. We had 40 people all together representing upwards of about $100 million in industry sales. And so that kind of thing is really important, I think, in 2009 to make sure you've got the right people to show and that suppliers are able to spend time with them. So we feel really good going into Dallas and also, of course, in New York.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks a lot for the call. We look forward to seeing you back in the office.
Take care. See you soon.
Bye, okay, Tim. Bye-bye.
All right. One of the big events at every Orlando show is the announcing of the Distributor Choice Award winners and the Supplier of the Year, as voted on by our distributor members. Andy, can you give us a little rundown of what happened there?
Yeah, absolutely. We named Leeds as the Supplier of the Year for 2009. They actually were continuously going up on the stage. Is that right, Joe?
Yes.
They collected.
Exercise.
It was a lot of exercise. They collected 8 of the awards that we had in the Distributor Choice Awards.
Wow.
There's actually 46 categories overall, and they won 8 of them.
It was like Gone with the Wind for Distributor Choice Awards.
Yeah.
About exactly. 1/5, right? 1/5 of all the awards to Leeds,
Who can do math. Very
and
nice.
They, yeah, that was quick. and they also took home the Supplier of the Year Award. And in speaking to distributors for a story we wrote, which is upcoming in our February issue, there were a couple areas that they pointed out as far as Leeds was concerned as to why they really voted for them so highly. One was product innovation. You know, they have a catalog every year that has new items in it and new ways that they could use those items. And the other, which was probably the most important, was service. They can, you know, Leeds distributors told us continues to enhance its service offerings every year and just makes them an easy operation to work with. So distributors really, it's sort of the People's Choice Awards of the ad specialty industry, and they threw it Leeds' way this year.
Well, I think every year that our winners of the Supplier of the Year are much deserved, and Leeds certainly deserved the honor that they received.
Yep.
Indeed. Thank you, Kathy. All right, we're going to take a little break here and hear from today's sponsor. This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com. Okay, we are back, and on line six, calling all the way across the big pond, is our resident Freudloin, Michelle Bell. Michelle, good talking. Michelle?
Good talking, my little wiener schnitzel.
Oh, very good.
Oh, my God.
Little what?
How are you today?
Wiener schnitzels. I am good. I am happy because I can smoke indoors and drink Riesling. I'm thrilled. I love Europe.
Oh, very good. Now, Michelle, you've been to quite a few PSI shows. Question for you. What's one of the big differences between the European trade shows and the U.S.-grown trade shows?
The exhibitors serve alcohol. Seriously.
The exhibitors. Now, do they just serve it to you? You walk up, you grab a glass of wine or a glass of beer. Or is it something where you sit down and talk with the suppliers, the exhibitors, and you share a glass of wine?
It's a much more cordial, I would say, relationship-building kind of atmosphere. Is when you go into someone's booth, they offer you a coffee immediately. They offer you, you know, depending on the time of day, they'll offer you a glass of champagne, certainly food. And you typically don't see that at the U.S. shows. And I know it's a lot of it has to do with because of the cost of unions and fees like that.
Michelle, does that mean that distributors and clients tend to end up spending more time in the booths?
They do. They typically spend at least an hour, and they write orders right on the spot. Okay, wait, as I'm on the phone with you guys, here comes Jonathan Isaacson from Gemline. I'm on the radio live. And Rich Fairfield. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
So, yeah, it's much more, you know, attuned to relationship building, and as I said, people write orders right on the spot.
I think that's an industry thing, too, Michelle, because my husband's in telecom, and they serve alcohol at their booths, too.
They're all a bunch of rummies.
So it's a frolicking good time, yep.
Now, Michelle, at our shows, there's a lot of people gathering their new catalogs. They're also getting new product samples and stuff. Do they do that at the European show as well?
You know, not so much with the samples because they really go in knowing exactly what they want. For example, tomorrow is the opening of the show. The show lasts for 3 days. They're expecting 21,000 attendees, which makes it by far the largest ad specialty show globally, more than any other show.
That's huge.
And it is huge. I mean, it's within seven halls, and you just can't even imagine the scope of it. And what happens is that, you know, the attendees who go in, they're much more focused. They're not just interested in getting their catalog scanned and grabbing samples. Again, they want to sit down and talk about specific plans and strategies and campaigns.
Now, the show's in Germany. Is there any type of language barrier? I'm sure they're drawn from a bunch of different European countries.
You know, they're not. Basically, everyone speaks German, French, thank God, and English.
Thank God.
So
why?
Because the language.
You speak
because
French?
Because French is such a pretty language.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was pretty or something that
I can
that
speak French, speak. Michelle.
Yeah, it's pretty, except when
you
Kathy
can.
Tries.
Yeah, that strikes me as such a big. I was going to say, Michelle, it strikes me as such a big show. Can people get anything accomplished? You said 21,000 in seven halls? I would be intimidated if I'm coming in by that.
The show's hours are very long. They're from 9 to 6 every day. And, again, when the attendees, they almost make appointments ahead of time. I'm assuming that was Dave who just asked that
question.
Yeah,
it's me.
They make appointments ahead of time to sit down with the specific sales reps in each booth. So it's very structured. And, again, there's none of this kind of running up and down the aisles and just asking to be scanned and asking for samples. As a matter of fact, a lot of them who've never been to a U.S. show asked me about that, and they're kind of horrified that that's the way that we do it in the U.S. They think it's kind of crass.
Okay, now, our U.S. shows are always, you know, followed, the exhibit hours are followed by some type of night event. Of course, we have the galas at the ASI shows and Distributor Choice Awards, Council Awards. Is there any type of events like that that they do at PSI?
There is. There's a huge PSI event. It's actually really, really packed. It's at a disco, and I think that is tomorrow night. I'm not quite sure, though. You know me. I'm not exactly the party goer. I'm more of, like, you know, an introvert.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Will you be going to the disco and doing the hustle?
No, because I have a trick hip. I don't want to throw out my hip.
You should have seen Kathy doing the electric slide.
I
have a
age.
Hip trick.
All right, Michelle, anything else you want to tell us about PSI?
I do not. Actually, Ron Ball just came into the building, so I'm going to go and enjoy happy hour with these guys.
Great. Well, Michelle, thank you for calling in. Behave yourself, and
thank
we don't want to hear about any international incidents.
I'm calling you first, Joe, if I get thrown in the pokey.
All right. I have my phone on auto answer. Thanks a lot, Michelle. All right, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. When you go to trade shows, you see a lot of pens and pencils and T-shirts and stuff, and some distributors might walk past those booths, but they're thinking creatively. They could find some uncommon uses for common products. Kathy, what do you got?
It's actually new twists on old standby products,
Joe.
There you go. Take a mouse pad, for instance. Everybody uses them and needs them. It's practical, but these days suppliers are making them multifunction, such as mouse paper calendars from Digispec, a 4-port USB hub mouse pad with radio and calculator from Advantage Industries, and a multifunction mouse pad with calculator featuring 16 world time zones, currency converter, and lots of other functions from Belanda Corporation. Another old standby is key tags.
Yes.
These days, suppliers are adding gadgets.
Such as?
Such as the Solutions keychain with mini digital camera from Snugs USA.
Wow.
Another thing is a tablet traveler keychain where you could keep your meds.
Mm-hmm.
That's very handy from Universal Promotions. And another cool product for teenagers would be cool, a keychain with a neon color hairbrush attached from Rocklay Industries.
Now what are you saying about teenagers, Kathy?
They need to brush their hair.
With neon colors.
That's right.
I'm always after my boys. Did you brush your hair?
Yeah, seriously. Okay, old standby pen, right?
Yes.
These days, of course, they're making them ergonomically correct and adding things like biodegradable functions from Dart products, ballpoint pen with stylus for a PDA from All-in-One.
Very good.
And also there's a stick pen with an acrylic adhesive flag holder on top, and it holds 75 flags, which is pretty cool. That's from Fields Manufacturing.
And I've seen other pens with USB sticks in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are a lot of neat ideas for old standby products.
So in other words, when you're at these trade shows, you really have to have your eyes open because you might pass a pen
exactly,
and not realize that
right.
there is a new twist.
You don't
on it.
Realize that there's something going on there.
Well, you are amazing, Kathy, with
Thank
what
you.
You found. Thank
you.
Speaking
Yay.
Of trade shows, we do have some callers now on our line, and they will each get a $25 gift certificate to Starbucks. And on line two, we have Kathleen from Creative Ideas Plus. Kathleen, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm fine. Just a cold.
You have a question for us?
I do. Well, my question is, I go to trade shows, but it seems like the big suppliers that I want to talk to are hard to get some face time with because they're always so busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping you could tell me what I can do to make sure that I do get that face time with the big suppliers.
Well, I would try to get their make eye contact, and then if you see them, just leave your card with your phone number and a little note just saying, call me and call your cell phone number. So if you're on the show floor, say, you know, they see you're really interested in meeting with them, they can call you and say, hey, I have some downtime now. Why don't you stop by the booth?
Okay.
And if, you know, also leave your, you know, your card will have your office number, so if they can't get to you right away, they'll call you.
The suppliers won't turn down money.
No, absolutely not. The other thing is there's a lot of exhibit hours out there. So, you know, check back frequently. There might be lulls. Lunchtime's between 12 and 1. And a lot of times it slows down there because distributors are off getting something to eat. So that might be a good time to check back in with that supplier.
Okay.
Kathleen, thanks for your call. Stay on the line. We'll get your information.
Okay. Thank you.
On line three, we have Chris from Active Marketing. Chris, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
It's good to hear from you. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. You guys are talking about all this great stuff happening at all the first shows of the year. Unfortunately, I don't have a budget this year to travel to any trade shows. How can I get the same experience at shows without actually going to one?
I can take that one. The Advantages Roadshow travels all over the country, and it's a fabulous opportunity to meet with top suppliers and see lots of cool new products. Plus, it's free. So there you go with the budget concerns.
One of the other things you might want to do is also look in your counselor magazines for the show recaps. And also on ASI Central, there is always promograms from the show floor. So we have video recaps and actually write-ups of education events. So that's a way to keep you in touch with what's going on at the trade shows.
Those road shows are great, Kath. I had a lot of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Southern California road show. And,
right.
They may not get, you know, obviously the quantity of people that they get at the big national shows, but they really do a lot of business. And
right,
it's
and it's
more
local.
Personal contact.
Right. It's right in your own backyard,
right.
And there is more one-on-one time there, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, Chris, thanks a lot for your call. Stay on the line. Samantha will get your information. And we do have on line one, we have Megan McNally from Styleware. Megan, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
We are all terrific. You got a question for us?
I do. It seems like I never have enough time to meet with all the suppliers I need to meet with at trade shows. How do I narrow down which companies I should meet with?
Well, Megan, I'd say find out what your clients want in advance. That might help you narrow down the field. Interview your clients with some more in-depth questions. And I would also say, remember, ASI provides rating systems with ESP that might define companies, their strengths and their weaknesses, what you might want. And word of mouth, ask around with these suppliers. Network, word of mouth really can make a difference, and that might also help you narrow down the field.
When you get to the show, go through your show booklet too. Know where those suppliers are. Just don't wander the floor. If you have a game plan and you know that you can go from the 500 aisle to the 600 and you can do it in sequential order, you'll make better use of your time at the trade show. Megan, thanks for your call. We will get your gift card out to you. Before we move on to our next topic, I would be remiss if we didn't give special shout-outs to our engineers who are on site in Orlando. That would be Steve Hawk and Samantha Tucker, which
Yay.
She has a new last
Good
name
job.
Now because she's married. They did an amazing job there, and we are very thankful for all their work and effort. Thanks
nice.
For the sound effects,
yes, Steve. Pat
All right.
yourself on the back now.
Dave, the holidays are over and it's back to the grind. For some companies, though, the times are a little tough right now. So how can business owners and managers boost morale?
Well, Joe, this is not rocket science, but I think it helps to get a reminder on these things. And a lot of these come from the lunch and learn sessions, which people really responded to. Number one, remember to say thank you. Saying thank you can really make a difference. And don't do it via email. Say thank you in person to your employees. Also, offer a day off. I like that one. If anyone's listening, you might be able to give me a day off. I like that one. Try cross-training between departments. It kind of continues education, keeps people interested in what's going on. This one I really like, free gym membership. It's kind of a dual purpose. Your employees also can continue to stay healthy. Give awards, some sort of recognition as well. The key is don't dodge communication. If your employees know what's going on, they're going to feel better. They're going to want to come to work, and they're going to feel more comfortable.
That's
communication
right.
is very important.
You know, little things too help. Mike Linderman is the president of Express Pens, a supplier, and he always has a brownie contest where people make their brownies and they come in and they vote for the best brownie. And that type of thing is just a little lighthearted thing. You come into a conference room, and I guarantee it'll lift some spirits.
Very good.
Yeah. Very good. All right. We did a couple of Joe shows when we were in Orlando, and as usual, we go around looking for cool products, and I get help from everyone on the staff. We get help from looking at the new products pavilion, the Advantages new products pavilion,
right.
and some of the things that I saw, one of the things that I thought was really neat that I haven't seen, it's an actual, think of a bumper sticker for the street, an asphalt sticker, and they can make very large. The company is Event Tracks, and they can make a very large sticker. So if you're out there and you're trying, you have clients who are trying to somehow promote to marathon runners, to 5K runners, or if they want to get involved with the Susan K. Run for the Cure type events.
Susan Komen?
Thank
yeah.
you. These are great ways to just put that advertising right in the street. And imagine all those people running over it. Then there's also the possibility for some coverage on the TV when you see these people go back. So I thought that was neat. Everyone gets coffee sometimes from Starbucks. And, you know, they give you those paper sleeves and sometimes they're
Dunkin'
hot.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Same thing. One company, it was...
But a difference in price between Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks.
That's right.
Yes, just a little bit.
$4 is dumb.
Duck Products actually does silicone coffee sleeves. The imprinting on there is absolutely amazing, and I think that's great if you have cafes, coffee shops who were, you know, looking to promote somehow. They could use these silicone sleeves and offer a 10% discount to their, you know, frequent clients who come back for coffee if they bring that sleeve with them. And one of the other things I saw that I liked, it's called a visor skin, and it's absolutely the easiest and simplest product I've ever seen. But you wrap a visor in your car, and when you flip your visor down, oncoming traffic can see a logo, and people behind you can potentially see a logo on the other side too. Great for booster clubs for high schools, colleges, and stuff. You can have your college logo on that visor. So I thought it was a neat idea.
Yeah,
it's very creative.
It is, and it's an area where there are visor products, but I've never seen something that has that logo like that. So those are some of the cool products that we saw in ASI Orlando.
You know, we'll also have both of those Joe shows archived in Promogram today. So they'll both be there and going out today in Promogram.
Andy, thanks a lot for giving me a shout-out there. I really appreciate it.
Joe and Living
Color.
Anytime
I can give you a plug, you know, I'm here for you.
Thanks, Andy.
Check's in the mail now.
Okay, a recent survey says that the recession startup companies are more successful. Andy, how can that be?
Yeah, I found a survey that came out over the last few weeks from the Kauffman Foundation, which is a business research organization. And it analyzed 8,000 companies, which were all launched over the past 175 years. And ultimately, it found that the businesses starting during down cycles in the economy were actually more likely to succeed than the ones starting in the upside of the economy. So it looks like, you know, now is actually a decent time to be starting a business. And I know a lot of people in the promotional products world actually start businesses at this point. You know, it's an easy business to get into, low barrier of entry. So there are a lot of companies starting up. In fact, we ran into a lot of new distributors at the show who had just started within the last few months. And so this kind of gives them a little bit of energy to succeed in the next couple of years.
Was there any opinion as to why they might be more successful?
It didn't have any research data. The opinion was in a sense that, one guy said having fewer resources forces people to be more careful with their money.
Okay.
So it might be in the beginning stages that people aren't as, spending as crazy as they might be if they were on an upside of the economy. So maybe starting a business in a more careful way is a better strategy than those who are starting, you know, in a spending way during an upside of the economy.
That's Tony Robbins says, markets change like the seasons, and right now we're in a financial winter. So everyone knows that, can work around that, and they know. That's
I can't wait
works.
For spring.
Exactly.
It's a harsh, cold winter.
Yeah, winter just got here. Well, this is something that it might be interesting to track over the next couple of years and see if the survey actually, gives us some good, useful data.
You do
Joe. Keep our eye on it.
All right. Talking about companies, the backbone of any company is the employees, much like we are here. Okay, I have a question, though. Speaking of employees, and Dave's going to tell us about worst sitcom employees. Who was the employee on what show that when the phone would ring, he would look at the employer and say, "You want me to get that?" Does anyone remember that?
Kind of, but I can't think of the name.
Was it Benson?
It might have been Benson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
was.
Well, anyway, Dave's going to tell us about some of the worst employees out there that we've seen on TV.
Yes, that's right. This list comes from Entrepreneur.com. I'm going to throw out some names. You guys are welcome to comment. Gilligan is number one. He was very loyal, though. You can say that about Gilligan, but
he
it didn't work out
buddy.
So well.
Yeah,
he was a little
buddy.
He wasn't such a
Gilligan.
He wasn't such a hot first mate, though.
How about Homer Simpson? How many times did we almost have meltdowns at the nuclear power plant?
Oh, that's
very
true.
Good.
That could
very
have been
good.
Bad. George Costanza and Kramer. It's kind of a dual.
Remember George used to sleep under his desk?
Costanza.
George is the worst.
But Kramer only really had the one job that we ever knew about on Seinfeld, and that was where.
But he was never
bagel.
At it. Yeah.
No, well, he said he was on
right.
strike.
That's
what
right.
was he working as?
At a bagel company.
No, remember he was driving the horse carriages, too?
That's kind of
I
like
the one where George didn't really work at the company. He just showed up.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, my favorite is, he found a way to really keep people off his back was by always looking angry in his office. And people would think, man, he's really busy. But go ahead, Dave.
Yes, and speaking of radio, Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati, who was often asleep.
I never watched that.
Great show. Okay, so anybody have any other names? If you broaden it out just to TV in general, not sitcoms, I was kind of thinking House. He does get the job done. But he's always watching soap operas. He kind of takes things away from people that are sleeping in beds and doesn't seem very nice to people.
And he's a drug addict.
And he is a drug addict, which kind of with that cane.
What's wrong with that?
Michelle would like that. Great.
Anybody else have any ideas?
How about Dwight on The Office?
Okay. That's
I mean,
good.
He's kind of loyal, but there was that one episode where he tried to
it
usurp
was an episode.
The power.
How about Michael?
Right.
No, yeah, Michael's the bad employee. Dwight's actually a good salesperson on that show. If you watch it, he makes a lot of
he's
sales.
Too, he's the
bottom line makes a difference.
That's right.
And,
of
course, all the employees here at ASI are top-notch.
Top-notch, yes. But when you think of sitcom employees, what about the various and the many secretaries that Murphy Brown had years ago?
That's right.
They show up for one episode, and that ties into a Seinfeld where they actually Kramer appeared on Murphy Brown as a secretary.
I didn't know that.
You know what, Joe? I think you watch too much TV.
Yes.
Shut up, Kathy. All right. It is now 2009. What day of the week is it? We all know.
I don't know.
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. So we've had time to think about this. We've all made our New Year's resolution. We're going to go around the table, Joe, and your own personal New Year's resolution.
I'm going to do more walking. I'm going to walk every day at lunch, and I'm going to be like the nun that Tony Robbins talked about. He started out walking and at age 72 is competing in the Ironman.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. That's a hard habit to break.
Yes.
Dave.
Well, judging by the video at the gala on Chromagram, I need to work on my dancing skills. The electric slide wasn't working out so well for me.
You dance like a white man.
All right, Kathy.
Well, you know, I bought an Orbitrek over a year ago, and it hasn't seen much action, so I vowed to use that Orbitrek as more than a clothes hanger.
Andrew.
I'm going to be less cynical.
Oh. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that, Andy. Not likely.
There's one thing I do at home, and I'm a little bit of a gossip sometimes, so I have vowed not to gossip about one thing in particular, and we'll just leave it at that. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I'll have to save my rant for next week. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll be back next week. We think the whole merry band of misfits will be together.
I won't be there.
Kathy will not be here, so it'll be a glorious day. Thanks a lot, and have a good one.